Man, oh 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 man. This is Wrestling Life. This is the brand new show, man. Whoo, Lord, Lord, Lord. WrestleMania Night 1 is officially in the books. And man, oh man, oh man. When I saw 45 minutes for the main event, I was like, who's fighting that main event? Who is fighting in that main event? And man, was that shit fucking fantastic. Lord Jesus. Before we get into that, man, like I said, I am Brand Janu, and like always on all podcast platforms, Brand Janu Show. Brand Janu Show. Social media platforms, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, Facebook, Brand Janu Show. And of course, YouTube channel where you can really find me, man. Brandon Janu Show, you go subscribe, like, comment, all of it, man. Like I said, tonight, this is Wrestling Life, WrestleMania Night 1 rate and review show. It is officially in the books. Man, that match was fucking crazy. The main event, and of course, y'all know the rate and review show is where I, you know, talk about the matches on WrestleMania Night 1, from my least favorite match to my most favorite match, and yeah, so I hope you guys enjoy this. Tonight, you know my stars, how I do it. One, you literally just didn't do shit in the match. It was a squash match and a boring squash match, you know, so our disqualification is something stupid that just happened out of nothing for no reason at all, just something stupid, but, mostly, I don't really give too many ones and twos, except if the match is just really stupid and it's really boring. Yeah, man. I will say this. This night one was not like last year's night one. It was a couple of these matches kind of dragged a little bit, and you were kind of like, okay, this is not what I expected it to be. But let's get into it. Like I said, man, I'm going to talk about that main event, of course, but all in all, man, WrestleMania Night 1 was pretty good, man. I'm not going to lie. It was a really good Night 1. It served its purpose, pretty much setting up Night 2. I know some people probably aren't going to like this WrestleMania Night 1. I haven't really been on Twitter that much to really see what people are already rating it, but it is what it is. Like I said, this is my. I start this list off with my least favorite match and my most favorite match. So let's get into it, man. My least favorite match of the night, and I gave this. I gave it 3 stars. It was really like 2.5, but the ending kind of boosted it up for me. So I gave it 3 stars. And that is Rey Mysterio. I had Dragon Lee, then Dragon Lee got hurt yesterday, which I didn't get a chance to see it because I was on the road driving back from New Orleans. But Andrade stepped in for Dragon Lee. So it was Rey Mysterio and Andrade versus Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio. I gave this a 3 stars. It was on short notice, which is the crazy part. Now, maybe this really was the plan, was to have Andrade and Rey team up. I just wish they would have done that a little quicker and a little sooner to build their chemistry. Andrade and Rey Mysterio, if you know anything about Andrade's first run on the main roster in WWE, him and Rey had some of the most incredible fucking matches I think I've ever seen from two people. It was an incredible rivalry that those two men had. I remember they had an amazing 2 out of 3 falls match on SmackDown. Oh, my God. Andrade beat him twice. Like, that shit never happened. But Andrade, Rey put over Andrade so hard the first time he was in WWE. So to see them team up against with each other, it was kind of interesting to see. All in all, man, the match was kind of boring, I'm gonna be honest with you. See, it wasn't what I expected it to be. If it was with Dragon Lee and Andrade, I probably would have liked it a little bit more because at least the athleticism is there. I'm not saying Rey Mysterio is, you know, slowing down, but it's just like, I don't know, just I don't really like Dominic Mysterio matches. Like, it kind of throws shit off. I don't like Dominic Mysterio matches. You got to be in there with somebody that can actually force him to go past the limits he can do as a wrestler. He's great on the promos because they boo him pretty much out the fucking building, so he doesn't really have to do a lot. They kind of just boo him. But yeah, I wasn't Santos Escobar could wrestle, man, really well, but I always felt like this should have been like a SmackDown match. I always felt like if you're gonna do this, you should have had the LWO versus Legado del Fantasmo. You should have just had it on SmackDown. This match could have just been on SmackDown. It didn't need to be on WrestleMania. If, especially if he wasn't gonna be like, guerrilla warfare pretty much between LWO and, Legado del Fantasma. If it wasn't gonna be that, then you shouldn't have just had this match. Should have just had this shit on SmackDown and we could have left it as such. Or you could have just had Rey versus, Santos Escobar on fucking on WrestleMania by itself and just had them outside or have a lumberjack or some shit, something. But this was just so uncalled for. I didn't think you needed the match. I'm kind of tired of having the Rey and Dominic Mysterio storyline kind of always mirror each other and come to each other. Like, it was great last year because it needed to happen. Now it's just like there's no real intrigue between these two. Like, Dominic has been on Raw doing his own shit for a while. The fuck is he in this storyline for? Now, if he's gonna move to SmackDown to team up with Santos and all them, and Carlito's gonna join them, then cool, do that. And Dragon Lee and Andrade are gonna join Rey and LWO. If that's the way you are trying to build it to be, then great. But I just feel like it's just taking too fucking long, and that's the problem. Like, this storyline is now dragging, and I don't want it to drag. And hopefully next month, if it's true that they're gonna do the WWE draft, then we're gonna get a lot more answers to why this match happened. Because then Andrade probably gets moved to SmackDown, Dominic, and maybe the Judgment Day breaks up and Dominic moves to SmackDown. So it can all happen, and we just gotta see it play out. But yeah, this match was kind of like 2.5, 3 stars. I mean, the ending, like I said, Jason Kelce and Lance Johnson coming out to save, Rey Mysterio and Andrade from Dominic using a chair. That was great. But other than that, the match kind of just it just dragged. It dragged a little bit, and I was kind of like, yeah, we could have just had this on SmackDown. I didn't really need to see this shit at WrestleMania. Kind of wasted a whole entire slot for these dudes. Like, you could have probably put an actual rivalry that probably was better than this on the card. Like, yeah, I didn't understand that. I thought it was bad. It was okay. It was decent, but it wasn't my favorite match by not even a long shot. Speaking of a match that a lot of people really was anticipating, but I kind of knew it wasn't going to be great, and that's another 3-star match, which is Jey Uso versus Jimmy Uso. I didn't expect this match to be great at all, not even close. I like the callback between Jey and Jimmy, where Jimmy was like trying to pretty much back down Jey from kicking him in the face, and he was like, no, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry. That's the same shit Roman did in the Hell in a Cell match between him and Jey, when Jimmy ran out there to try to stop Roman from pretty much trying to damn near kill his brother with the steel steps. And he came out there and Roman was like, yo, I'm sorry, man. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm sorry, man. And then he put him in a guillotine and choked him out. And Jey had to quit, which prompted Roman to become the tribal chief. So I get the callback, and Jimmy tried to use that tonight, but it felt like it just dragged. And that was another match that just felt like it just dragged. It was like, what the fuck is the point? Like, Jey stopped at one point. Like, just mid-match, just stopped. Jimmy's on the ground, and he just stopped mid-match. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Like, why y'all? What the fuck is happening? All that build up, and it just fucking air out the balloon. Like, it was. But I didn't expect this match to be great. I didn't. I Jimmy hasn't had enough matches under his belt by himself to have a one-on-one match against Jey. Jey's actually been on his own for a while, and he's actually could hold his own for a while. Jimmy cannot. And that's the fucking problem. Jimmy's not a better wrestler than Jey is. And that's the fucking problem. I didn't think this match was going to be good. Not by a long shot. So I'm not shocked that this match kind of sucked. I think people on social media are just amazed that this match was just that bad. But I knew it was going to suck. I knew it was going to be bad. I didn't expect it to be great. That's why when people kept saying, oh man, it's going to be the match of the night. It's going to be the match of the. No, it's going to suck. It's going to suck. I knew it was going to suck. Because it didn't matter where they fought each other. It was just like, Jimmy isn't in the ring better than Jay, because Jay's actually been in the ring by himself more and longer than Jimmy has. People forget Jimmy tore his ACL and Jay had to fight on be his own man for a long time before Jimmy came back. Jimmy's had some matches here and there solo-wise, but never to the extent of where Jay has been in. Jay has been in literally three main events with Roman Reigns. Like, Roman and Jay have main evented a couple of pay-per-views. Like, Jay can hold his own in a match by himself. Jimmy fucking cannot. And that was the problem. Jimmy is not that equipped to go into a match and fight Jay by himself. He's not. That's why I'm like, I didn't see Solo this entire WrestleMania week so far. I'm assuming he's probably gonna be there tomorrow. But it's kind of weird to see Solo not even be at WrestleMania 41 night one, when you had literally the Bloodline headlining the main event, and on top of that, Jimmy and Jay fighting in a damn match, and he's that little brother. So it's kind of weird. But for all in all, man, the match was a 3-star. I didn't expect the match to be great. I like the callback to the Hell in a Cell match, but at the same time, it's exactly what I thought it would be. Like, Jay was gonna stop at one point and try to be like, give him some humility and be like, yo, you're my brother, like, I love you. Like, he said it in these last couple of promos, like, that they've done. Even the promo Monday night when, what was it? Not Monday night, the night before, in Chicago, when they saw each other, and Jay was like, bro, I miss you. I miss riding with you. I miss talking to you. We haven't been able to do any of that since, because you chose to still be a part of the Bloodline. So I knew eventually humility was gonna kick in and be like, I'm still a little brother, man. I'm not trying to take your fucking head off your shoulders. Like, I just want you to stop being this asshole, like, to me. And I need you to understand, like, them dudes don't love you. They're gonna use you. And I knew that was gonna happen. So I wasn't surprised that's an old WWE thing. If you never really seen a bunch of old WWE matches between brothers, Bret and Owen and shit like that, Matt and Jeff and shit like that. Where Jeff, I think, even stopped in the middle of the, but they had like a Extreme Rules match, him and Matt Hardy, at the pay-per-view, not at WrestleMania, the pay-per-view after WrestleMania. They had a Extreme Rules match and Jeff stopped in the middle of the fucking fight. Oh, it was an I Quit match, I think. But yeah, man, I didn't expect this match to be good. I don't think people really understood the value, like the actual way that Jimmy fights. Jimmy doesn't have enough matches under his belt to go one on one main event with a one on one match against Jey Uso. Jimmy is just not equipped to do solo shit. He's not. And I know people that even recently he's been in tag team matches with Solo. Like, he's not that guy. He can't go one on one with Jey. Jey's more equipped to do a one on one match, because he has more arsenal in his skill set than Jimmy does. And that's the difference. So I wasn't surprised the match kind of was a letdown, because I didn't expect to be good to begin with. I just didn't. But I like the hype. I thought the hype was really great around it. But I kind of knew the match when they finally started to fight. I knew this match was going to suck. I was like, yeah, this ain't going to really actually be the match of the night everybody thinks it's going to be. But yeah. The next match for me that I gave 3.5 stars was Damage Control versus Jade Cargill, Bianca Belair, and Naomi. I gave it 3.5 stars. Outside of the entrance from Jade, Bianca, and Naomi, this was another match that I just didn't expect to be great. It was cool. It was what I expected it to be. It wasn't over the top. It wasn't super crazy. It wasn't a lot of move sets that they were gonna do out there that I was like, oh yeah, that shit's new. It was nothing new. It was like, okay, I expected it to be this way. Jay got in, got the hot tag, finally made her moves, and she won the match. Exactly what I thought. And then she pinned Dakota Kai, which obviously she was going to take the pin. Yeah, it wasn't a crazy match. I thought it would be what it was. I gave it 3.5 stars because even though I expected it to be that way, It was better than the other two matches to me personally. Yeah, the other two matches kind of like I expect them to be good. I hope they'll be good. But if they fail, I wouldn't be surprised if they fail. This match was exactly what I expected it to be. Damage Control come out there, try to, separate Bianca, separate Naomi, but it's hard to separate Bianca. She's so damn strong. Like, she's strong. Like, oh man, by the way, that whip that she gave to Asuka, fuck that shit. That shit. Woo, that shit. But we heard that shit through our TVs. Imagine being in the arena, in a stadium and hearing that shit. That's an echo. Like, what the fuck was that? You just look around. Like, what the fuck was that? What the fuck is going on? Like, it was like, yo, that shit was loud. Like, God damn. But I mean, she did that shit to Sasha Banks at WrestleMania 37. She whooped. Whoop, she was like, ah, fuck. But, yeah, I expected that match to be exactly what it was. It was exactly what I expected it to be. And I gave it 3.5 stars. At least it was better than the first two. That's what I could just say about that. Let me see. Let me see. I got like 2 5-star. I got 3 5-star matches. So the one that did not become a 5-star match, but I gave it 4.5 stars, was the opener of WrestleMania 40 tonight, and that is Bianca Belair, I mean Becky Lynch versus Rhea Ripley for the WWE Women's World Heavyweight Championship. I gave it 4.5 stars. Another match, and I saw this on social media, and I forgot which one I saw it on, but it was like right after the match, and somebody was like, this felt like more of a Becky Lynch like goodbye match. I don't think Becky's leaving WWE by no stretch of the imagination. Could she? Of course she could. I'm not gonna sit up here and act like she couldn't. Same thing with Seth. Seth could literally lose next tomorrow night and lose his title and kind of be in no creative plans for moving forward. But I don't believe Seth and Becky can go somewhere else and immediately be Seth and Becky in their company. Like AEW, I don't expect Seth and Becky to be AEW, superstars. I just don't. Becky is a made woman in WWE. But if she goes to AEW, she might get exposed as what she can do in the ring and what she probably can't. Same thing with Seth. Like, Seth can't go to AEW. I'm not saying Seth is going to be exposed. But Seth's more created in WWE and Becky's more created in WWE than half of the people that left WWE, like the Keith Lees and the Adam Coles and all of them. Where this match, I think, was good was it was the opener. So you don't really have anybody following you. You're pretty good. You're pretty set in stone. You don't really have anybody following you. So when you don't have anybody following you, I mean, everybody's following you. So it's easy for you to kind of just be you in the match. A lot of counters, a lot of big moves. If you thought Rhea was gonna lose, you're nuts. Like Rhea was not losing this match. Like I just everybody in Judgment Day lost except her. That tells you enough. Like it tells you all you need to know. Everybody in Judgment Day lost tonight except her. Dom lost. Judgment Day lost their tag team titles, but she's the only one that won. Tells you a lot about how much WWE values Rhea Ripley. All in all, man, I didn't expect this match to be crazy. I expected it to be exactly what it was. Good. Really fucking good. Really, really fucking good. I knew Rhea was hurt. The Becky being sick part threw everything off, I think, to me, but she still went out there and had a phenomenal matchup. To open up WrestleMania and you have strep throat, and let's be, I've had strep throat a couple of times in my life. That's not some shit you just get out your bed and just go do. Like, it ain't some shit you just roll out the bed and then you go fight some fucking body. That ain't, no. That's a put your ass down for the night type of injury. So, for her to fight at WrestleMania for that and go up against Rhea of all people and still give a classic like that, I will easily give it that, and I will respect the fact that Rhea and Becky did an amazing job at WrestleMania 40, and that was an incredible match. So I gave it 4.5 stars. Okay, like I said, I got 3 5-star matches. Three 5-star matches. Man. Okay, how I want to do this. Okay, here we go. All right. The first 5-star match is a 6-pack ladder match for the Undisputed Tag Team titles. Like I said, thank you, Triple H. First of all, let me just get that out of the way. Thank you, Triple H. Appreciate you so fucking much. Thank you. Because for the longest time, I've been saying, please split these fucking tag team titles. Why the fuck do you have one team with two sets of tag team titles? What the fuck is the point? Judgment Day barely's on SmackDown. Dominic Mysterio is more on SmackDown than fucking Judgment Day, who have both sets of tag team titles. Why the fuck are they on the tag team titles? They should have split the belts a long fucking time ago. But since they didn't, and they did it tonight, thank you. Now, I immediately knew who was going to win these tag team titles the moment I heard it was in the match. I do not believe Awesome Truth should be the Raw Tag Team titles champions. I don't. I love the moment, though, that R-Truth finally got. Because I knew R-Truth was going to be the one that climbed the ladder and got the Raw Tag Team titles. That was all about that moment. That's what that was about. They didn't really give a fuck about who won SmackDown. They did not give a single fuck who won that SmackDown Tag Team titles. Not one. Which is why when I heard Grayson Waller and Austin Theory were going to be in the match, I immediately thought about tomorrow night is going to tell me a lot about really what they think of the SmackDown Tag Team titles. I'm not shocked of who won these titles. Not even in the slightest. Because I expected it to be this way. I expected Grayson Waller and Austin Theory to take the SmackDown Tag Team titles. That's just who I expected. Hopefully now they also now change this dumbass SmackDown and Raw Tag Team titles. Hopefully they really do have new sets of tag team titles that they've been saying for a year and a half they have now. So hopefully they really do have the new, maybe Monday night and Friday night, we will see Raw have introduced the new WWE World Tag Team Championships. And then on SmackDown will be the WWE Tag Team Championships. I hope that is really what we're about to get. Because it would be so goddamn great. But the match was good. I know a lot of people probably was like, man, I thought this match would be a little bit more crazier. Or like, you don't have Jeff and Matt Hardy. Like, you don't have Edge and Christian. Fuck, you ain't even got the Dudley Boys. Like, you have, like, you don't have these super athletic people in this match. Like, I expected it to be what it was. And I liked it that way. I think it was good. Now, me personally, I would have had the Creed brothers in there. But then you find out, Julius Creed got married over the weekend, so he probably couldn't make it to Philly. That's understandable. Got it. Figured it out. Thank you. I would have had the Creed brothers in there. You really want to know? I would have had, Humberto Carrillo and Angela Garza in there. I would have had LWO in that match. If you want the fun and excitement, you should have gotten the five flyers that was in that match. But they went with the teams they knew. Hell, I would have even put Imperium in the fucking match. Something new, something different. But the fact of the matter is, we got what we got. And I like the fact that we got what we got. Because at the end of the day, every single team in the match has had a problem with Judgment Day. New Cast Republic, DIY, Awesome Truth. New Day. Every single team has had a problem with them, except Grayson Waller and Austin Theory, which is why I felt they were going to win the SmackDown Tag Team titles because everybody wants to take out the Judgment Day. And if you watch the match, what the fuck did you see? Every team went at the Judgment Day. Who the fuck was left standing? Austin Theory, Grayson Waller. Why? Because they don't really have any beef. They have no reason to be in the fucking match outside of. You just want them on a card, and you know you need somebody to give these tag team titles to. New Cash Republic just lost to Judgment Day at the last pay-per-view. Of course they want to fight Judgment Day. New Day. DIY. Awesome Truth. Every team on Raw wants to beat the Judgment Day. That's the only reason why Austin Theory and Grayson Waller was even in the fucking match, so they could give them the titles just to be like, okay, now you got the titles. Like that was really the only reason. So I knew exactly who was gonna win this match the moment this match was announced, and seeing who was in it, I was like, yeah, Grayson Waller and Austin Theory winning them titles. And Awesome True gonna win Raw. Now, me personally, I do not want to see Austin Theory, and I don't want to see The Miz and R-Truth keep them titles for very long. I hope they drop them next pay-per-view, to be honest with you, and I hope they drop them to DIY. I love the fact R-Truth got his moment. I love the fact that even The Miz got his moment. I just feel like I don't want to see them be tag team champions for a long time because there's no value in it. Like outside of The Miz and excuse me, R-Truth does better when he's just a comedy act by himself. He doesn't need The Miz for that. He's good on his own. Now you gave him titles. I don't think this is gonna last long. I never wanted them to win the titles. I actually wanted DIY to win them because I felt like they would have been, one, better tag team champions, and two, they can actually give you real compelling matches. This shit feels like a comedy act that you just. There's some shit that Vince would do. I hate to say it, but there's some shit that Vince would do. That they would just be like, this is a funny ass thing. You know what we should do? We should give the tag team titles to Miz and Truth. For what fucking reason? I don't know. It just feels like some shit I would love to see. It's some shit I would love to just see. Wouldn't it be funny? Like, wouldn't it be fucking funny if Miz and Truth won the Raw tag team titles? No, motherfucker, it wouldn't be. Why would you want that? Like, I don't know. It'd be funny. Like, it'd just be some funny shit to see. Like, it'd be funny, right? No, it wouldn't be. Ah, you don't know what you're talking about. It'd be funny. But asses and seats, it's just so stupid. Like, why would you make that happen? I just, all in all, the match was great. All in all, the match was great. But yeah, I just didn't want to see Miz and Truth win the Raw Tag Team titles. It just didn't make sense. It didn't make sense. I'm sorry. I just couldn't. I'm sorry. But yeah, match was good though. Match was really fucking good. And also to be the dreaded second spot on a WrestleMania card, second dreaded spot in pay-per-views. That was the best. It's crazy. Today was like the second spot outshined every match on the card for a minute. You know, the NXT Stand and Deliver second match, that triple threat match was amazing. Fucking incredible. Instant classic for NXT history. And this ladder match is really fucking good. Could be considered one of the best matches of tonight. So, yeah. Which brings me to the second. Second to last, man. One of my favorite matches of the night. And that is The Rock and Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. Yeah. I love this main event. I loved it. You know what's funny? As I said, man, you know what would be the craziest shit if The Rock came out in his old attire like he was still corporate Rock? Remember when he was the corporate Rock, when he was corporate champion, and he used to come out with that black track suit with the fucking dress shoes? I was like, man, that should be so dope if he did that shit. And then what the fuck happens when the damn music go come out and the fucking lights go dark, and then he comes out and he's in a Brahma bull with the fucking fire. It's just, and he's just sitting in there like, This mother comes out with the fucking tracksuit on. I'm like, you gotta be fucking kind of new, but it's the tracksuit, man. I'm like, yo, this shit is legendary, bro. Oh my God, Attitude Era to the fullest, man. Oh man, I remember my birthday. Him and Mankind fighting on Sunday Night Heat. Yeah, kids, there was a show called Sunday Night Heat. Kids, there was a show called Sunday Night Heat. It used to come on every Sunday on a USA Network for like an hour. It was way better than AEW's, what is that? that comes on Fridays for AEW. It's not Dynamite. Is it Rampage? Yeah. It for an hour. Sunday Night Heat would bury AEW's Rampage right now. Like, put it in the fucking ground somewhere. But yeah, it man, Sunday Night Heat was the shit. Like, my God. But it was one night particularly. I think it was like 1999. I remember. It was my fifth birthday. And it was Sunday, it was the Super Bowl that night. And it was my birthday. And I remember leaving my birthday party, literally leaving my birthday party to go watch this match. The Rock and Mankind. I remember leaving, like just dipping out and being like, I gotta go watch this match. I gotta go watch this match. Yeah, but so to see The Rock in that tonight was just like, damn, bro, like, oh man. Yeah, it just brought me back to my fifth birthday, man, and having everybody there. Yeah. But yeah, so seeing The Rock come out like that tonight, I was like, fuck, God damn it. Cause I said that to myself, I was like, man, it'd be dope as fuck if The Rock came out dressed like the corporate Rock. And he came out dressed like corporate Rock. I was like, oh, this motherfucker, yeah. But yeah, man, that shit was legendary, man. This match, all in all, man, it was given 45 minutes. Now, when I posted something on Facebook, and I was like, the main event is literally gonna be 45 minutes. I said, I can't do it with this 45 minutes main event. I can't. I'm so happy I was wrong. I'm so fucking happy I was wrong. I saw so many people on social media. Yo, niggas on social media, bro. X is crazy. Twitter is the best, man. Niggas on social. Yo, niggas said The Rock gonna need a inhaler. That nigga said The Rock gonna need an inhaler every time he go to the go sit on the apron. He gonna need to. He said The Rock gonna need a lung replacement. Yeah, and then he said The Rock gonna need a lung replacement. That shit was fucking hilarious. Yo, that shit was so stupid. But he did not. This shit was really good, man. From the beginning to the end, Rock literally using his power and selling the ref. Hey, man, you better not. You know me. You know The Rock. I don't fuck around. Like, I don't fuck around. Like, yeah, count. Try to count me out. Try to count. And your ass gonna be fired. I'm like, this nigga Rock don't give no fucks. This nigga is really using that shit, that strength of, I'm corporate Rock, man. This shit, I am the board. I am the final boss. Try that shit with me, you're gonna get fired. Like, God damn. Yeah, that shit was amazing, man. This was an incredible main event. 45 minutes. I didn't think Cody and Roman would interact as much as they did tonight, but I actually at one point thought Roman should probably pin Cody. But to see The Rock pin Cody, I was like, that kind of does make more sense. I knew Cody was gonna take the pin. I knew Cody was gonna take the pin the first minute this match was announced. Seth cannot take the pin. Seth is gotta fight Drew McIntyre tomorrow. Why the fuck would Seth take the pin? That's so stupid. Cody had to take the pin. This was the last loss before he won the title, right? So he looked just like he did last year at WrestleMania 39 with just this just disdain, like just this, I can't believe I lost this fucking match look on his face again. But yeah, man, this match was incredible. Again, it was 45 minutes to cook, and they fucking burned the house down. They just cooked, they burned that bitch down. This match was incredible, man. It was one of the best matches, one of the best main events I've seen in a minute. It probably tops. Ooh, shit, I don't know about that, because that was actually one on one. But I hadn't seen a tag team match like this. This felt like Bloodline Rules, which actually is why I think this match maybe worked so well, because it was like a sneak peek of what Bloodline Rules will be tomorrow if it. Well, now that it is this way, what it could have been. And the fact that it happened the way it happened, I was like, oh shit. It actually made me think, Cody could actually win this shit. Cody and Seth could win this match tonight. But they went with the right plan, which is let Cody lose, take the pin tonight, beat Roman tomorrow. And of course, if everything is being said on social media like it's being said, John Cena, Seth Rollins, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Jey Uso, that's a lot. That's a list of fucking people that can literally pop up and stop the bloodline that have real Randy Orton. I mean, like, you got people that really have real problems with the bloodline. I mean, people forget Randy Orton has literally told the bloodline, "I'm coming for you, Roman. I'm coming for you." I know he's got to fight against Logan Paul son tomorrow night, but wouldn't that be the perfect time to get the fucking bloodline if you're gonna get him? LA Knight, who's got problems with the bloodline? You don't think he should get him either? Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, anybody? I thought the match was phenomenal. 45 minutes to do it and he fucking didn't miss a step. The Rock looked great, which is something to say. Roman did his thing. Cody fucking, which Philly's a hard crowd to figure out sometimes. They booed Roman Reigns when he won a Royal Rumble. So I'm not surprised they booed Cody tonight, which that's not surprising to me. Philly's a hard crowd to win over regardless. They always like, the heels in Philly, so I don't really take that too much. Even but when Cody was in the ring with The Rock, they actually cheered Cody. So it's not that I know people are gonna get on social media and be like, see, they're booing Cody. You should not let him win. It's like, no, man. Philly's a hard crowd to win over. Fuck, Roman didn't get them over to his side until he beat Sheamus the last fucking Raw on 2015. Like, stop it. Like, they booed fucking Roman out the building. Like, stop it. And Seth did his thing too, man. Seth did exactly what I expected Seth to do. And it sets up tomorrow. Now, my match of the night, which is pretty much everybody's consensus of tonight, is Gunther versus Sami Zayn for the Intercontinental Championship. I gave that 5 stars. That was kind of obvious. For 20 minutes, they told the entire story in 20 minutes. And it was fucking fantastic. Man, I watched that match, man, and I was like, man, it's fucking funny how people were like, Sammy shouldn't be fighting Gunther. Sammy shouldn't fight Gunther. Chad Gable should be the one that's fighting Gunther. This is stupid. Sammy gonna lose anyway. And it's like, let's just see how the match plays out. Can we just get to the match, please? Now, me personally, I love Gunther. I thought Gunther was an amazing Intercontinental Champion. I actually had Gunther winning tonight. But seeing how the match played out and seeing how Sammy won, yes. Yeah. I actually think Sammy had a better moment tonight than he did last year. I think it was a better Sami Zayn moment tonight than it was last year at WrestleMania. And this motherfucker main invented it. That match was fantastic. Gunther looked like a dominant fucking champion. It literally took a fucking brain buster from the top rope to beat him, right? In a Hulula kick. A Hulula kick. Like two Hulula kicks. I knew as soon as Sammy saw Kevin Owens in the hallway, I knew Sammy won. Yeah, I'm gonna be honest. Y'all know how y'all be on social media. Like, as soon as I saw the entrance, I knew they won. As soon as I saw Sami Zayn see Kevin Owens in the hallway and Kevin Owens was just standing there waiting for him on some like Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero shit on WrestleMania 20, I was like, oh shit, Sami won. I was like, oh shit, Sami won tonight. The match was fantastic, man. It showed how great Gunther is, that you have to literally do everything in your power. You have to take so much punishment, so much abuse, and then you still have to find a way to be just more determined than him. And it played into Sammy's underdog mentality, and it was fucking perfect. People hated the idea of Sammy versus Gunther. I see people being still a little bit distraught by, still a little pissed off that Gunther lost the title tonight. But if he was going to lose the title, it had to be to somebody that I actually felt like could elevate the title or keep it up to the way he was. And I know people gonna sit there and say, that's not Sammy, that's Chad. Chad is great. Chad is an amazing wrestler. But Chad wins the Intercontinental Championship and it doesn't do shit for him. It doesn't. All it is that he beat Gunther. What the fuck does that mean? I said that th tonight. Like, I said that tonight, earlier today when I did the NXT Stand and Deliver. I said, if you gave me an option, Ilya Dragunov or Chad Gable to end Gunther's reign, which that is now over. But if you was to, if he would have beaten Sammy and kept the belt, if you asked me, Chad Gable, Ilya Dragunov, I would have said Ilya Dragunov by a long mile, because at least Ilya Dragunov could keep the fucking reign going. He could keep that energy going that Gunther has put into that. I do not feel that way with Chad Gable. Chad Gable is going to have an amazing matches. He's going to have an incredible, incredible bodies of work when he gets out there in the ring. But as great as Chad Gable is, there is something about him that makes you think, I don't know. Now, here's the thing. I think Chad Gable beats Sami Zayn. I think Chad Gable takes the belt from Sami Zayn. I think Chad Gable turns heel. Because I think that's the only direction you can go with Chad Gable right now, is the fact that he has to turn heel. And I hate when people turn heel when it's not organic and it's just forced on them. But I think Chad Gable can be an amazing heel because he's actually just so goddamn annoying when he can be annoying. Like, let's be real. We hated the shoe shit for a long time. And then I started going to Raws and I'm like, and this shit's actually catching on. Like, Chad's amazing in the ring, but he was never going to continue how Gunther continued. It was something about it. Sammy can actually do what he needs to do. He can actually open a Sami Zayn Intercontinental, Invitational. Because Sammy's an underdog. I don't feel that way with Chad. Chad's not an underdog. Chad can actually go in the ring. Chad got all of the skill sets Sammy does not have in the ring. And that's the thing. Sammy did his job tonight. It was an amazing match. I hope, if this is what they're gonna do, Gunther needs to win the title. I think they're still doing Bash at Berlin. I think they're still doing Bash at Berlin. But if not, Gunther and Drew at Clash at the Castle, if Drew wins tomorrow for the World Heavyweight Championship, sign me the fuck up. I'm in. Let's do it. That's what. Hopefully, it's not like the SummerSlam match they had, because it was kind of like I just felt like they tried to like do too much in 1 20 minutes. It was never gonna work. But if they go out there and have a main event, like for real, okay, I'm cool with it. Let's do it. So, all in all, night one, like I said, wasn't like last year's night one. Night one last year was probably, it was held it as the greatest WrestleMania probably of all time. If you take, if you're just doing it separate, separating it from night two. This one was not as crazy. It wasn't super over the top. It wasn't that. I think tomorrow night is gonna be the same. I'm not saying this WrestleMania sucked. I just feel like a lot of the matches you could have not had on this card. Like, I like the chat. I like the six women tag. I thought that was a great WrestleMania moment for Jade. But the Jimmy and Jey Uso match, I knew it wasn't gonna be great. I knew the Rey Mysterio and Andrade Santos and Dom, you could have had that shit on SmackDown. We could have skipped through this bullshit and just had that shit on SmackDown. And the matches I really did like, I really love them. I really did like those matches a hell of a lot. Now tomorrow night, of course, will be, night two, and you got the Pride versus the Final Testament and the six man tag team Philadelphia Street Fight. I'm looking forward to that. Logan Paul, Kevin Owens, and Randy Orton in the U.S. Championship match. Hearing Randy Orton say he's got some things he's gonna try to do tomorrow night in the match on SportsCenter when he sat down and talked to them this week, I'm like, I don't know what Randy's planning, but I'm in. Let's see what happens. Io and Bayley, I feel like that's gonna be more emotional than people expect. The build sucked, but it's gonna be a really emotional match to see how that's gonna play out. And then of course the two title matches, Seth Drew Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes. I do not think Damian Priest is going to cash in. I would be surprised. At this point now, I don't fucking know what you're going to do with Damian Priest with this Money in the Bank. I have no clue what you do with Money in the Bank with Damian Priest. Maybe he does cash in on Drew if he beats Seth. Maybe Seth wins the match and then loses the title to Damian Priest. But at the end of the day, this match has got to be. You got to get that briefcase off of Damian Priest. And it's getting to the point now where I think people don't understand that he's going to be a transitional champion. He's not going to be this 6 month stand champion. Like, even though he's had a better Money in the Bank winning win loss record than most since he's been Money in the Bank. I don't think he's gonna be. I mean, you got Drew McIntyre and you got CM Punk, and you still gonna have Seth sitting there somewhere in the dwellings, and Jey Uso and shit. I guess other people you could Gunther now is free to be the champion. Like, there's way more people that can be better world champions than Damian Priest. I'm sorry, it just he feels like a transitional champion, and I'm not trying to say that's what I want for him because he's been Money in the Bank for this long, but I can actually see him cashing it in and losing. I can see it. I can see him cashing it in and losing it just to get the fucking briefcase off of him. So, yeah. But that's tomorrow night. I hope you guys enjoyed tonight. WrestleMania Night 1 rate and review show. I am Brandon Janu. Hope you guys enjoyed this. Until next time, peace.